from one of our listeners. Thank you for your always interesting podcast. Your friendship and humor lightens up an overcast December day. Several podcasts ago, hollyhocks were the topic. What I was told by the older generation of farm wives is, hollyhocks meant that an outhouse was nearby and you just had to look for them. No need to announce your need for a bathroom, just a Midwest tidbit. Thanks for the lovely email, Pam.
Yes, thank you, Pam. Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Dee Nash from Guthrie, Oklahoma, where I garden on 7.5 acres out in the country.
And I'm Carol Michael from Indianapolis, Indiana. I have a suburban garden measured in square feet. It's about a third of an acre.
We call ourselves Garden Angelus because we are evangelists for gardening. We love gardening and we want you to love it too.
Yes, we do. And we aren't afraid to spill the beans and tell all of our gardening secrets, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. But that's enough of who, what, when, where. Let's move on to this week's episode. Hello, Dee.
Hello, Carol. Well, it's December.
December it is.
And there's not much going on in the garden, is there?
There is not. But I did, there was a couple of mild days, so I mowed up leaves again, which was fun.
Yep.
And the cannas that I had accidentally left in a pot on the back patio and covered with a trash bag, I uncovered that. I dug those suckers up. I don't know if they got too cold, but they're in the garage. And I was like, I need to clean those up and make sure, you know, anything that's rotting, get rid of it.
I was going to say, are they mushy?
Pieces are mushy, but I think there's some nice tips. So, you know, it's one of those things when I'm don't mind getting myself dirty. I got to go out there and clean those up and then I will see what I've got.
And you also cleaned out your pansies, the ones that aren't perennial.
Yeah. You know, I had some pots of pansies still going and my little greenhouse, she orders up she doesn't sell Christmas trees, but she sells holiday greenery. So I went down there one day last week and got some stuff to put in the pots and then clipped some stuff from an evergreen here and fix those up. And I still had those pansies going and I felt bad, but they're now blooming on top of the compost pile. See how long they last.
That's a good place for them. So my pansies are still blooming in the front bed and we got the leaves out of the front bed, you know, because the oak leaf deal, you know, the oak leaves mat down. So I have to get them out of the beds, which, you know, I wrote about in my blog post this week. Yes, I actually posted on the blog. In the garden, I did nothing other than that. And, I planted 3 more amaryllis in the house, and I wanted to give a shout out to John J. Sheepers Bulbs, if I don't cough, because I still have this cold. They couldn't fulfill all of my outdoor bulb order due to crop failure, so they sent me an amaryllis called Red Pearl as a gift to my family, which I thought was really sweet.
That is very nice.
Also, amaryllis and caladium.com, that group, you know who I'm talking about?
I do.
They sent me a nice note with my amaryllis order and they sent me an extra amaryllis as a thank you. And I just thought that was really sweet. She remembered speaking to me before or emailing me. And, you know, that's just that personalized service that you just think is really nice. So
you're not going to get that from the Amazon. No.
No. And I still buy from the Amazon, but still, yes, you're right. You will not get that. So I try to buy all my bulbs from companies I know.
So I do have one more pansy thing to note.
Of course you do.
So at the end of the season, I guess, I went down to the little greenhouse. I was just hanging out, making sure that I had purchased every last viola. They had some white pansies. And she says, oh, just take them. We're getting ready to throw those out. They're horrible. So I took them and I planted them up with my others. And there's still 2 white pansies that are going that were like in the center of these 2 long boxes. I left them there, put the greenery around them. And I thought, I'll just see what happens. I'm not watering them or anything, but you know, so I got 2 pansies kind of going in the front, 2 white ones. We'll see.
have you had snow yet?
We had snow several weeks ago on a Saturday. We had enough snow to cover the ground and then it completely disappeared.
Okay. We haven't had snow yet, but I figure when the big snows come to Indiana, those pansies will be toast.
They will be. They're probably toast now because it got down to, I think it got down to 17 degrees Fahrenheit this morning, which.
Yeah, it was 28 here.
That's so. Very cold.
That's pretty cold. I think those pansies are done.
I think so.
Do you want to do the first quote?
I always do the first quote. That is the tradition.
And heaven forbid we ever change it. Go ahead.
Before the seed, there comes the thought of bloom by E.B. White.
So do you think E.B. White thought a lot about gardening?
I think he thought a lot about farming and his animals because, you know, he wrote Charlotte's Web.
Which is one of my favorite books.
And isn't there a mouse he wrote about? Stuart the Mouse, is that right?
Stuart Little.
Stuart Little. I knew there was something. But anyway, we picked his quote for no... Well, we have a reason.
Well,
we'll get to that reason in a bit.
We do have a reason.
Tell us about the flower this week, Dee.
So the flower this week is National Garden Bureau's annual flower of the year for 2022. Sorry, my voice is still bad. The National Garden Bureau does these year of plants for all different things. Annuals, perennials. They may even do shrub and trees now.
They do shrubs. I don't know if they do trees, but they are doing houseplants, and we're going to be talking about houseplants next week. And I think everybody's going to be so excited to find out what the 2022 houseplant of the year is.
Oh, they are. And we so appreciate them doing them because it gives us something to talk about on our podcast before we run out of ideas.
That's right.
So
verbena is in the verbeniaceae family, which is 800 species in 32 genera. How's that?
And a lot of them are native to the Americas and Asia.
Exactly.
And the interesting thing is you don't grow verbena, annual verbena, a lot, do you?
I do. I do. I put them in some of my containers in the back. But I don't think verbena is the flower that everybody rushes to the greenhouse to buy in the spring, like, say, your pansies.
Okay.
Sorry about
that. Well, some of us run to buy pansies. I mean, some of us don't care that much. So verbenas usually come out a little later than pansies here, and they're considered a good trailing plant, especially in containers.
I only ever see them really planted in containers around here. I don't know of too many people that are plunking them into the ground because they are not perennials here at all. They are annuals.
Yeah, they're annuals here too. They have hairy leaves. And so because they have the fuzzy leaves and they're a little bit silvery, that helps them with heat and drought. That's why they're popular here.
Yeah, that we get heat and drought too. Especially in a container, you can have self-imposed drought when you forget to water them. But they are a little bit forgiving of that. And I'll tell you what, they make for a gorgeous hanging basket. And the breeders have just knocked our socks off, so to speak, with all the different varieties that they've come out with.
Right, because it used to be, at least where I live, Homestead Purple was the verbena everybody grew, and it just was purple. And it looked good, but it used to get problems with spider mites. Mm-hmm. I would say that a lot of the verbenas have trouble with spider mites, so then you have to spray them with neem. So they're not always a no-care flower. They're supposed to be, but spider mites, you know?
Right. Yeah. I hate spider mites.
I do too, because they're hard to get rid of. Although if you just drown stuff in water, a lot of times that'll get rid of them. The times when we have trouble with spider mites in Oklahoma, it's when it's a hot, dry spring and then they just become a problem. So you just drench them, or you can use neem oil. But if it's too hot and dry, you can't use neem oil because it's above 90 degrees and then it'll burn things. But I digress. Obsession Twister Red. I wanted to talk about it.
Go right ahead. I'm looking at a picture of it on the National Garden Bureau site. And I want to tell you that I accidentally slipped off to another site, so I didn't really hear what you said. Go ahead. I want to tell you about the other site in a minute.
Obsession Twister Red is out with Harris Seeds. So you can actually buy this by seed. You don't even have to buy bedding plants. And that's pretty cool too. And I might actually try this one. It's very hot pink in the center, almost red. And then as the flowers, it looks to me like as they age and go out from the center, they become more pink. So it's almost a bicolor effect. And boy, it is cute.
It is cute.
I think we could grow this.
I think you could too. So I was looking at the sign. It's like they have a picture of 2022 year, the verbena. They have it on a mug. They have a whole store over at Redbubble. And you can get all kinds of shirts and mugs and clock. If you love verbena, you got to go over to Redbubble. I'm only disappointed that we don't have that didn't have a pansy as the flower of the year, because I would buy so much stuff on this other site. I mean, everything, pictures, mouth.
Well,
never mind.
The thing is I'm sure there was a year of the pansy.
Well, they only go back to 2021 and 2022.
Bummer.
So I can't really get, you know,
here's the thing. If there was a year of the pansy, you could go to our friend Diane Blazik, and I bet you she still has the logo, and I bet you that she'd let you have it and you could have a mug made or a t-shirt.
She would set it up on this store and I'd have to buy it.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah.
Go Diane. Okay. So back to verbenas instead of pansies, there's a really good article about them, and their hashtag has a whole photo gallery of all of the different types of verbena that you can grow. And there's a bunch of different ones. So think about it this year, everybody. Grow it. Annual verbenas.
That's right.
Pots.
I know I will grow some. That's just the way I roll. I grow everything.
That's true. You do. So do I.
Go ahead, Dee. The quote is yours.
Thank you. Always be on the lookout for the presence of wonder. E.B. White.
I do like that.
So you need to tell about Sean from Australia, the email.
So we got an email. Yeah, we got an email from Sean from Australia after he listened to our podcast last week, which is about chestnuts. And he wrote, "Hi, guys. I just wanted to reach out and let you both know that there is one place that I know of where you can find beautiful, big, mature American elms and chestnut trees. Australia. I know it's not somewhere where you might think of immediately as being a safe refuge for American trees, but American and Canadian settlers during the gold rush brought with them many American trees, and we are fortunate enough to be disease-free of most foreign invasive diseases. I only just learned this the other weekend whilst reading a plaque along an avenue of elms in a suburb near me. I think it is one of the unintended positives that has occurred from settlers bringing plants from afar to this country. My partner and I are currently growing a chestnut tree from a seed that sprouted that we collected in April 2020 when the chestnuts usually fall in my area." And then he went on to talk about the Avenue of Elms. And if you Google that, you'll find that there are tons of avenues of elms, because this was one way that people sort of had a living monument to World War I and all the soldiers who died. They would line the avenues with deciduous trees along the town. So as you came in. And he has a couple of examples. Anyway, he says he loved the podcast as always. Thank you, Sean from Tacoma, Victoria, Australia.
Wow, Sean. I'm so thrilled you listened to us from Australia. That's amazing.
Yes.
In and of itself.
Sean's written to us before.
He has.
Yeah.
He has. And I appreciate it.
He wrote about Viola banksii, which is native to Australia.
Yep. And that was interesting too. Who'd have thought?
Count how many times I've referenced pansies and violas.
Do I have to?
No. Okay, our nut tree.
Now, before we go to the nut tree, I wanted to say one thing about elm trees and how you have them in alleys. That was really popular in the United States, too, after World War I. And you will drive into small towns or near to the entrances of small towns in Oklahoma, and you'll see these giant alleys of old elm trees. Okay. And the reason they did it is for the same thing. They wanted to honor their dead because they lost so many people in the war. And it was the First World War. So it, you know, freaked everybody out. And I can think of an alley right now. And then also there's lots and lots of elm trees that were planted along avenues inside small towns. And if you look, sometimes you'll find a plaque and it has to do with that. So yeah. They did it here too.
Most of the elm trees around here are dead from Dutch elm disease. Just saying.
Oddly enough, we have a lot of elm trees, and I have a lot of elm trees in my garden every spring. Seeds and seeds and seeds of them. Okay. So to this week, we're going to talk about English walnuts and black walnuts.
That's right. Juglans regia is the English walnut, which is actually from Iran. And Juglans nigra is the black walnut, which, as we know, is native in the eastern North America, because the squirrels plant black walnuts in my garden every year. I pull out one or two seedlings.
It's native to Oklahoma, too, even though we're a little further west, because there's one right down the street.
So I will say this. If you're going to grow nuts or walnuts, you're probably going to grow an English walnut variety.
Which is actually from Iran.
Right.
which makes no sense, except, I don't know, sometimes I think the English just said stuff was theirs, but keep going.
Well, that's what people commonly plant when they want to plant walnuts. It's a very mild tasting walnut, has a thinner shell, so it's easier to crack open.
Yes.
But I kind of went down a rabbit hole of black walnuts.
Yeah, I love black walnuts, actually. I'm unusual, but I love black walnut ice cream. And my grandmother used to make black walnut cookies and all kinds of stuff. So tell me about them.
It's a much stronger, earthier tasting walnut than the English walnut.
It is.
Now, English walnuts, that is, you know, you can have your chestnuts roasted on an open fire. We always had walnuts in a bowl with the nutcracker and the little thing to pick it all out. That was Christmas. Right. And so, because I've been thinking about walnuts, when I was at the store yesterday, I had to buy myself a bag of English walnuts to crack open and pick out the nuts.
They're really good for you, too. I mean, walnuts reduce cholesterol and do all kinds of stuff. So they're really, really good for you. But keep going.
Yeah. The only thing that can harm you is you get those nutcrackers. If you get your finger pinched in there, that hurts.
It does hurt. Did you do that yesterday when you cracked open your walnuts or as a kid?
No, I've done that as a kid, though. But the black walnuts, very tough, very hard shell. So they're really hard to crack open. That little nutcracker that you use on English walnuts is just going to, the black walnut's going to laugh about that.
Yes, it is.
You need a hammer on a hard surface. And when we were kids and we would go out to the woods, like in the fall, we'd always want to bring back walnuts. And they're in those big green husk things, which make a big stainy mess all over your hands.
They do make a big stainy mess all over hands, but they are also antifungal. That skin is, and that skin will kill fungus. And the reason I know this, and I think I shared this before when we talked about black walnuts once before, my neighbor across the street had a bunny rabbit, and my children went over to pet said bunny rabbit.
Yeah.
And then they all, a few days later, had ringworm. I had lots of little kids with ringworm. And I went and bought the stuff that you buy, like Lotrimin or whatever it is. And I told my neighbor, I said, by the way, your bunny has ringworm. And she was like, darn. She goes, well, let's go get some black walnut hulls, the green stuff. And she said, and we will pound them and we will get rid of that ringworm. And you know what? We did. We found them. We cracked them open. So ever since then, you peel that off. And so I take some of my neighbor's black walnuts every year in the green stage, and I stick them at my freezer just in case, because they're antifungal for lots of things. That ringworm disappeared in one day. It was amazing.
Yeah, even though we call it a worm, it is a fungus. Well, my dad always said, well, the way we'd have to crack them open was drive over them with a car. And nothing says, yum, good nuts, like crushing them with a car tire to get them to open.
Yeah, rubber. Nice.
But I'm going to link to another site. It's called Hammond's Black Walnuts, and they're in Missouri. And this is a family that's collected wild walnuts back in the day. And now they have orchards full of black walnuts. They have recipes.
They're the most famous family. Yeah. They're the company that everybody buys black walnuts from if you don't harvest
your
own.
And here's the thing. If you harvest your own, I also found out that they have a whole network of hulling and cracking stations, I'll call them, where there are people that have the equipment to take the husk off and get that walnut cracked open for you. And so there's like three in Indiana that around me that I could, if I had black walnuts, I could take them and they'd actually buy them off of me.
Yeah, because they're kind of rare and people really do like them. And those black walnut cookies, if I can find a recipe that is similar to my grandmother's, we'll link to it. They're really something. They're really, really good.
Well, the other thing is, I was at Sam's Club. They have actual black walnuts for sale, not the pieces, black walnut pieces.
Yeah, you can buy them.
And that's how I know. I mean, they just have a different taste than English walnuts. So if I
get the feeling that you don't like them.
I do like them.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. And if I had property, I would have black walnuts for two reasons. One, I would have a wooded property and it would come pre-planted with black walnuts because they're pervasive in the woods around here.
They are around here too.
And second, if I didn't, I would have those. The English walnut is a more refined tree, I think.
With bigger, bigger meat, nut meat. I mean, let's face it, it's much better. It's, and then the same thing, and we're going to talk, I think, next week about pecans. It's the same situation too. Native pecans versus pecans that are like paper shell. It's different, you know, bigger nut. So are we going to talk about the elephant in the room?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, which is a chemical called juglone, which is in the leaves and the husk and the roots and everything of the walnut tree. And it is supposed to be one of those allelopathic chemicals that keeps other plants from growing around them.
Supposed to be
forever and a day. Everybody knew you couldn't grow tomato plants around black walnut. And then,
which why you would do that anyway makes no sense, because tomato plants need sun.
Exactly.
Instead of shade. And, but the original test was for some reason done with tomato plants in the shade of a black walnut tree. And guess what? They didn't thrive.
No, but they're, you know, so was it the chemical or was it the shade? And so,
well,
I mean, we can still link to extension articles. Like we're going to link to one from Iowa State. They'll say, here's all the plants that don't grow well around black walnuts. We're also going to link to article about how it's not really been researched. It's just been assumed. And so we'll try to find some stuff about, you know, there's a lot more research to be done, but you're not going to plant a black walnut on the edge of your vegetable garden. You're just not.
Right. Because then your plants would be in the shade too. So there's some question about whether juglone is actually what causes the plants not to thrive, even though it does inhibit some things from growing around black walnut roots. Dr. Linda Chalker Scott did a whole debunking thing, and I think that's on her blog. I think it's on the Garden Professor's blog.
We will find that and we will link to it. So,
okay, cool.
The other thing that I found is, you know, I said that to me, the walnut is the Christmas nut. And so I did find a video that said the walnut is, that's what holiday memories are made of. And that's true for me.
I do love walnuts. I have some that are shelled that I actually eat a few every day because they're good for you.
They are good for you.
And they're delicious. So the next quote.
I believe that it is yours to say, Dee.
I don't think it is, because I did the last one right before we talked about walnuts, about being on the lookout for the presence of wonder. So it's your turn.
Oh, it is. I apologize. From December to March, there are for many of us three gardens. The garden outdoors, the garden of pots and bowls in the house, and the garden of the mind's eye. And that is by Catherine S. White. And we know she was into gardening.
Yes, we know she was. She wrote a series of columns, and she wrote Onward and Upward in the Garden, which I think is a collection of her columns.
It is.
I think Catherine White's book is one of those that most people who are serious gardeners read early on.
Yes.
In their gardening life.
And I will tell you, having been reading it off and on through the week and having read it before, I forgot something, Dee.
What'd you forget?
Should have a big danger sign on the front of it.
Uh-oh.
This book is a giant rabbit hole with references to all kinds of other old gardening books that then you will think, I really need that book. And then you will go out there and you will find it. And so I've only ordered one.
What did you order?
I ordered a book. I was reading a chapter called Winter Reading, Winter Dreams, which I believe is chapter 12. And so I ordered a book called Some Ancient Gentleman by Tyler Whittle.
Good Lord.
And she says, it's one of those rare books with garden subject matter that can be read right through for the pure pleasure of their literary style, their civilized wit, and their extensive knowledge of global garden history and literature.
Really? Uh-huh. I've never even heard of this book. So that's amazing in and of itself, because I thought I'd heard of them all.
I had not. And so in a couple of weeks, depending on how quickly whoever's delivering it is delivering it to me, I have purchased a fine used copy of this book for myself.
Did you get it from bookshop.org?
No, because it's a used book. They don't have used books out there.
Oh, they don't have used books?
No.
Oh, so you had to go searching for it.
I did. But you know, yeah, like that, I thought of two things, the Booksellers documentary that we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And how easy it is. I mean, I could find 10 of these used copies.
So I meant to say, just, I was thinking in my head as soon as I said, so you went on a search for it. Well, literally you typed it into your search bar. So because it's easy now.
It is. So I went on a 10-minute search, literally a 5-second search, found a good used copy and ordered it up. And here's the thing I was thinking, if you wanted to, I always feel like if you're going to collect something or get into something, you need to set up some parameters or some rails around it to keep yourself from going crazy. And
yeah.
So I thought you could make a list of all the books that Catherine S. White references in this book, Onward and Upward in the Garden. And then you could make for yourself a collection of just those books.
There you go. Because you need those. Not really.
Anyway, the book Onward and Upward in the Garden, a classic by Catherine S. White. Good one to have on your nightstand or just by your easy chair. You can pick up, read a chapter. Don't be near your computer because you might try to buy it like a book. And I'll let you know how that book is once I get it.
So I have a question. I didn't go back and look at it again. I mean, I've read it 3 or 4 times. But is this where I originally learned about Elizabeth Lawrence's books? Was in Catherine's book? I think it was.
That or vice versa. I think I went into Elizabeth Lawrence first.
And then read this one.
Yes.
I knew that they were connected somehow. So that makes sense.
Does
make sense.
Well, she's got references, 2 books of Elizabeth Lawrence's, Gardens in Winter and A Southern Garden. Because they have...
I love Gardens in Winter. We should talk about that this winter.
But the nice thing is... the books in print, she's got a whole list in the back of all the books in print that she talked about.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, I'm looking at this and it's like, oh my gosh, this is just a big, fat, deep
rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. I shouldn't be allowed to look at that anymore. Okay, although I did look in like, so I have both of the Elizabeth Lawrence books. And then there was one by Buckner Hollingsworth, like, oh, I already have that one. So now I'm going to check and see which ones I already have. It's like, well, how many books would I have to buy to complete the collection so that I could say I have every book that's listed in the back of that one?
Okay, you're way too excited and you're talking way too fast. So you need to put that book down and talk about your dirt.
So the dirt, and you're like...
you're way too excited. I'm grossed out by your dirt. So you just go right ahead.
So this was in the Purdue Landscape Report from like 2 weeks ago.
Ugh.
Hitchhikers on Christmas Trees. And it says, they start off with saying that insects are rarely transported inside of Christmas greenery and decorations.
Well, that's good to know.
But if you should notice that bugs came in with it, you should not use pesticides to get rid of them. You should remove the offending piece of whatever. And most of the ones that come in are not going to hurt you. And so they listed 3 that you could end up with on your tree. And so praying mantises can lay eggs on some holiday greenery. And then...
right, they have those egg sacs. Yeah.
Then in the warmth of the house, those egg sacs hatch and out come little baby...
praying mantises.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, there could be worse things, I guess. And there are worse things because I looked down the list. So there's 5 altogether. So first is praying mantises. That's pretty obvious.
Spiders.
Because anything that lays eggs. Yeah. Then spiders. Again, obvious. But my house has got spiders. It's just part of life. And then aphids.
Aphids. Now, that would be just kind of disgusting, but it wouldn't.
But pretty normal. I mean, yeah. You know, you might get one. And then there's something called an LD moth, which used to be called a gypsy moth. Why is it an LD moth?
You know what?
When did that happen?
I have no idea. But they show some pictures. We'll link to this on. They show pictures of what they might look like. So if you find those, that's bad. And if you find...
yeah, kill that quickly.
If you find spotted lanternfly, that's bad too.
Kill that quickly. Kill it, kill it, kill it.
Well, and that one...
we discussed spotted lantern flies a couple of podcasts ago. They're bad.
And if you find spotted lantern fly, you're supposed to report that to the authorities right away.
Because they want to make sure, well, then it's in your state, which we talked about that kid finding it in Kansas, but they think it actually was a hitchhiker on a car. But anyway, Okay. My tree is artificial, so I don't have to worry about this.
Yeah. I don't have a tree up because I don't do Christmas at my house. So after a while I thought this is a lot of work. And right. So my Christmas decorations right now are some Christmas kitchen towels hanging off the stove.
Gee, you're festive.
Well, I have stuff outside, so it looks festive. But I did want to say, speaking of gross hitchhikers into the house, don't ask me where it came from. But I got up yesterday morning, I went out into the great room, and I looked down at the floor. There was an earthworm on the carpet.
Well,
where'd the earthworm come from?
Well, the earthworm came from outside and crawled in and died on the carpet.
Well, it's like, did it come in on one of the few plants I took outside? Did it hitchhike on like probably the bottom of my jeans or a shoe? Or it wasn't damaged in any way. And I'm like, well, you're about dead. So I went ahead and threw it out so it could die in the cold.
Yeah, it needs to die out there instead of in your house. They occasionally crawl in here. And of course, they dry out because, you know, they don't have soil to crawl in. So let's talk about our rabbit holes.
Yeah, I want to hear about your rabbit hole, D. You crazy.
You want to
lady.
Hear about mine first?
Yeah, I know what yours is.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. So
you talk about me being crazy.
Ron Mozell, who's pretty famous here because he owns American Plant Supply. And also his mom owned Mozell's Hort Haven, which if you're of a certain age, you shop there as a little child with your parents. And Rod, you know, loves gardening and his wife loves gardening. And she has a whole bunch of little tiny greenhouses and conservatories. And he shared them on his post the other day on Facebook. And at first I really did resist, but then all my friends started sending me texts linking to all these different greenhouses and I succumbed. And so I went on a search for little greenhouses and conservatories. And I think I have three coming, just three.
Yeah. These are tabletop decorations. They'll be a lovely display for Christmas.
I'm going to, and the funny part was my one friend, Denise, who listens to our podcast, she said, oh, well, you need the whole, whatever this company is that makes all, they make several greenhouses within this company. And I think I bought two from them, but she said, oh, you need the Harleys and you need this. You need, I said, no, you don't understand. I'm not collecting the whole village complete with motorcycles. I'm collecting little greenhouses. That's it. So there you go.
Which reminds me, in my Christmas decorations, because I have ornaments, I have a couple of ornaments that are little greenhouses.
I have one.
Oh, I know I have one. That'd be a lot of work to dig out all my Christmas decorations and find
your little Christmas decorations and find your little greenhouses. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a bunch of gardening themed ornaments. I might just set up the tree and put all the gardening themed ornaments on them and then box them up separately.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? I did that with my, because you know, I changed out trees last year and went with a flock tree. And so by doing that, I decorate it differently than my other tree, which used to have shiny brights. So long story short, I put all of the ornaments for this tree separate in separate boxes and I'm storing them inside because I went much more simple on my tree the last couple of years because I do not need to spend 4 days putting up my tree.
Nobody needs to.
That's silly.
So my rabbit hole is I'm still on the lookout for a good used typewriter to buy. And, you know, there was one on eBay and I dropped out of the bidding and I got an email like 3 minutes before the bidding started. And I thought, should I bid? And I'm like, no. So it's kind of tricky business to buy a typewriter because so many of them are selling them as is. And then they'll say it works. Mm-hmm. And then you read the fine print. It says, except the letter S. And I'm like, I have a typewriter that the letter S doesn't work on.
That's not very helpful. You need one that actually works. So you found a little tiny typewriter.
I found that. Well, there's a Lego typewriter.
Is it big or is
no,
it?
No, it's full. It's full size.
A full size.
You can type on it. You can faux type on it after you build it. And I watched a video review of it and the guy says it's totally worth the money and it's fabulous, but it's like $200. So.
And it's sold out. So there's that.
Well, no, it's not sold. You can find it.
So how are we going to relate your wish of a typewriter to gardening since this is a gardening podcast? I'm testing you. How are you going to do that? Because you can always relate it back to gardening.
Well, you know, I use my old typewriter, the one that's broken, that was my grandmother's. I use it as a prop sometimes and take pictures of it out in the garden when I'm talking about garden writing. Nothing says garden writing like a typewriter sitting in your garden. So I don't know. I just want to type gardeny things on it. Is that a bad thing?
Well, and you, and on your Instagram, you used to do on, in a typewriter font, these really cute sayings and thoughts about gardening. And then you do a garden picture, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that was, the app is called Amazing Typewriter. And you actually can type and you can't erase stuff. You have to just, it's like a typewriter. So while I was down in the Lego hole, I did find out that literally 10 minutes away from me is this not gigantic store that this Lego nut has opened up. He's got $1 million Lego collection.
You should go see it.
I will. When the kids, I guess I could go see it now. The kids are still in school. I sent it to my niece whose son is obsessed with Legos. And I'm like, hey, did you know about this? Wouldn't be, they could go on a field trip. Anyway,
that sounds fun.
So I want a typewriter so that I can type gardeny things on it. Okay.
That works for me. I knew you could do it. Now onto our garden commissions.
You want to go first?
Sure. I'm going to try to get my bulbs planted outdoors like next week. I'm really busy this week and next week. So we'll see. I've got to get them done by the end of December. And I think I said that they were done in my blog post because I intended for them to be done, but then I got sick, so it didn't happen. But anyway, I ordered some more tulips because I wrote that blog post because that's how these things work. And so I'm waiting on those tulips to come, and then I'm just going to mix them all together and then plant them in these two little spots. And Bill was going to get out my bulb auger because, you know, a lot of people do them with a bulb auger, and I have in the past. But I have mixed feelings about that bulb auger, and it's on a drill for those who don't know, and it drills you little holes in the garden that you plunk these bulbs into. But it also stirs up your dirt, it kills earthworms, and it does it messes with the structure of the dirt, which the whole lasagna gardening method is that you don't mess with the structure of the dirt too much. So long story short, I don't know if I'll use the bulb auger or not. I have mixed feelings. It's sort of like I'm a vegetarian. I know that seems, you see what I'm saying? Like people who don't eat meat, I'm sort of like, I don't know if I'm really a bulb auger person, even though I have two of them.
And people are there listening and saying, I never knew that a bulb auger was something that you could have conflicted feelings about, but now you know.
Exactly. But you know, I do this to myself. So what are you going to do in the garden?
Well, I was going to say, if you live in Indiana and points north, your bulbs should be in the ground already. You are now late. Get on it. D is in Oklahoma. Yeah. She can be a slackard. And it's not really being a slackard.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem was, is it was so warm that if I had planted them back when I would normally plant them, they just started to break dormancy. And I didn't want that. So anyway, I'm going to plant them now. What are you going to do?
My garden commission, I have two things. One is, if we get a decent stretch of weather, I think one more pickup of a few leaves for the vegetable garden bed, but certainly not essential to the life and health of my garden.
Right.
But yes, yesterday, my nephew sends me a text. And now he's got me on what was at first a wild goose chase because he gave me the wrong plant name. But apparently his wife would like a particular house plant for Christmas. And suddenly I'm obsessed and went down to the garden center, not the greenhouse, but another garden center that sells houseplants all winter. I talked to them. They're supposed to text me today when the order comes in of their fresh plants to see if it's in there or if they expect to get these at all. So that's my garden commission. I need to hunt down a houseplant for my nephew's wife for her Christmas, apparently.
Does she listen to this podcast?
I do not believe that she does. And I'm sure she told him.
So what are we looking for?
We are looking for a polka dot begonia.
Oh, that isn't easy to find.
No, but the garden center that I went to, she says, oh, yeah, we've had those. They sell out quickly. She didn't know because the person who does the ordering wasn't there, but she was going to check into it. I'm supposed to find out this afternoon if it came in today's order or if they expect to get any before Christmas.
So, okay, well, next week, are we talking about talking about houseplants next week?
For our flower, yes, we're going to talk about it is the year of blank. not begonia.
A year of blank. So that's a tease. Okay. And interestingly enough, so as a rabbit hole, I will talk about a certain house plant that Debbie brought to my attention that I've never heard of before. And she wants to know if you can grow it here.
When we stop recording, you're going to tell me before the rabbit hole next week. I can't wait a week.
Absolutely. Okay,
cool. All right. Well, we want to thank you for listening to The Garden Angelist. If you like our podcast, please tell your friends about us. Also hit that subscribe button so you don't miss anything.
And if you listen to Apple Podcasts, we'd love a 5-star review that helps us get noticed by others. Could you also share our podcast with your gardening friends? Word of mouth is still the best way to get the word out there.
Yes, and be sure and check out our show notes for links for more information about today's topics, plus links to our own websites. And if you want to help support us, use the affiliate links. If you buy something after clicking through on them, we earn a small commission, and it costs you nothing.
It was lovely to chat with you over the garden gate today. Bye. Until next week.
Bye, everybody.